my device. Texting an Excel.
Relax, everybody. Welcome to the Bunta Vista Tantric Grindset Turbo Manifestation Class. Relax your mind, open your third and fourth eyes, and prepare to receive the wisdom of the gods, along with a book of coupons for local businesses. As we pry open our cracked and chafed chakras, let us go around the room and check in with our regular participants. Seated cross-legged in front of me, balls clearly visible in the leg of his very short shorts, is a bearded man with a serene, Forrest Gump-style smile on his face. Hello, Ben. What is being manifested in your mind palace today?
I'm manifesting a very big and beautiful sandwich.
That's wonderful. Is it the kind of sandwich Scooby-Doo would eat?
Yes. Well, that he would share with Shaggy.
Yes.
While they're meant to be looking for the evil ghost of an old knight.
But there's no ghosts in your mind palace, are there?
No. It's completely clear, except for the big sandwich.
Seated next to him, with a relaxed face and the very audible sounds of the latest Luke Combs album blasting from her AirPods, it's Lucy. Lucy? Lucy!
What?
What powerful
I don't
vision.
Understand what we're supposed to do here. Why is everyone talking so quietly?
What powerful visions of the future are you conjuring in your mind palace?
I'm conjuring Big Gun, Grassy Knoll, President of the United States, Taco Bell, things of this nature.
That's beautiful. And seated up the back of the class, an extremely audible and completely unbroken 45-second long fart leaking from his relaxed anus, it's Theo. Theo, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I feel like we came away from that conversation with different different outcomes. I am fully relaxed, and that includes every part of me. I'm manifesting $1.3 million in cash in a briefcase handed to me by an 8-foot-tall lady.
Like a deal or no deal kind of scenario?
To build myself a little sauna.
Oh.
Oh, don't, do you don't take laugh. Part
Those
in
are expensive.
Sauna culture?
Sauna?
I'd love to have a sauna.
Man, fuck, I would.
I don't understand the sauna.
Well, my new house has only got sauna. A little litty bath for, like, children. Mm-hmm. I can't lie down
here. Oh, you want to install a sauna?
What if I had a big bath in, like, a hot room?
What if you were standing in the
full
bath?
Full of mold. I would love that. With some... and. It was basically paid for in cash that arrived via an Amazonian woman.
This, I can't, I don't
she
know if there's
off.
An Amazonian woman component to this, but I'm constantly seeing people selling saunas on Facebook Marketplace in Brisbane for like $3,000. Like you could probably save yourself.
What do you get for $3,000 for a sauna?
Oh, it's a one-person sauna.
Sauna, like one of those ones that you sit in and you kind of wear like a vinyl...
Oh, like a
sex
sauna
suit kind of thing.
You don't have to wear your sex suit in there.
And they pump
this
the...
Is a,
you get
a
too
suitless
hot.
Sauna. It's just kind of like an outhouse with some IR shit in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
don't
I don't
like
want
the
IR
stuff.
Shit. That's
no.
I want
traditional
wet. I want
sauna.
Wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, infrared sauna? No.
They got infrared saunas?
Yeah. They're dry. They're dry as a bone.
Oh, there are actually lots of new developments happening in sauna culture.
Welcome to sauna space.
I don't get it. I don't want to be like wet or warm or have any like sensations
I want to be
of
cold
my body.
And dry.
Flaky.
Despite not being swingers, we are slowly moving towards like some type of hot tub arrangement, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
we also live in a place where it'll get really cold.
Yeah.
Imagine sitting outside in the very cold winter, but in the hot tub.
I fantasize about this all the time.
They
of
get
just
nasty,
having
though.
A cold night, hot tub, cold beer.
Hot
cold friends.
Beer in the hot tub.
Tepid friends. One of the houses that I looked at before we bought this one, It had a hot tub. It was the one with the amazing window that looked out to the forest, but no yard or place for my children or anything like that. But it had a hot tub there.
Like, your happiness is your children's happiness.
Yeah, my happiness. You got to put your own mask on attend to the needs of others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure, there's no clothesline at that house. Sure, there's nowhere for the children to play. And also it was perched on like the side of a hill. So the children would just like, I guess, scoot into traffic.
Look, if you really think about this, in like 30 years' time when they're talking to a therapist,
yeah,
which would be a thing that you would mention more, a lack of a backyard or a lack of a happy father?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a happy father in a hot tub.
That's my father so would true. Often chase me around our large backyard trying yeah. to beat the shit out of me.
You could see, or you could see when daddy was getting visibly red and mad and nude, mm-hmm. and then he'd go, no, you know what? I'm going to go and sit in the hot tub about it.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All my worries would just shed off into the water. Fuck, I love hot water to sit in.
Hey, if you had some weird memories of your hot tubbing father sternly glowering at you from the hot tub until he relaxed, that's something you would maybe talk to a medical professional about. We have our own medical professional, and her name is Dr. Lucy. It's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just to pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
Sorry, I meant to circle back to something. So you were talking about how Lucy went to Luke Combs a couple of weeks ago. Lucy, how was it? Did you have a good time?
I honestly had the best time. It was one of the most fun concerts I've ever been to.
It really looked like it because I saw some Instagram posts from you.
Do you know how many people were at that thing?
Yeah.
They sold out Marvel Stadium like two nights.
Yeah, they sold out.
And the ones in Brisbane.
Suncorp here as well.
I've never even heard of him.
I was listening to a Luke Combs CD. Jesus Christ. I was listening to, I was streaming some Luke Combs in the car the other day because every now and then I'll go, let's do some Lucy Mindset, you know?
Yes.
Throw it on. And the thought that came to me while I was listening to this was I wanted to ask you, Lucy, what like, let's say 20-year-old Lucy would think. If you pop through a portal and you sat her down
horrified.
And you went, listen, in the future, this is what we're doing.
Look, pretty horrified.
You know just what happened. I think 20-year-old Lucy would say if you popped through a portal and showed her what you were like? She'd say, you don't understand me at all. Don't talk to me. I'm going to go hang out
that's
in the cemetery with my friends.
So rude. That's me at 14, not 20. Thanks.
25, 28, who knows?
25, 28, all the stuff.
You're popping out of the portal and saying to 20-year-old Lucy, it's very important that you kill a man named Elon Musk.
You've never heard of this man, but you need to kill him.
There's going to be a thing called PayPal. You're going to buy some shares that will entitle you to attend the shareholders' conference.
Bitcoin.
You're going to make your own gun like a Japanese guy from the future.
I'll show younger me the plans, the Shinzo Abe gun. Just like this. Just do it like this.
You're going to train as a hair plugs technician. At the same time, you're going to obtain some of that poison that the Russians used.
There is going to be a movie called Equilibrium. You are going to buy it on DVD and do all of the moves.
I've probably already seen Equilibrium by now.
And then at the hair plug clinic, you are going to slice his face off. Ha!
You see, they arrested a guy for making threats to Elon Musk on the website Twitter.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that?
Apparently you can't do that. But also when they searched his house, he had like body armor and an AR-15 and stuff.
Oh, that's a shame.
So I maybe almost did it.
Damn it.
We got so close.
Yeah.
So this
but that's probably the one guy that's going to do it. There's probably not more of like, it's probably that the material conditions and how they evolve have probably nothing to do with like terrorism in the kind of mean. So he's probably fine.
Yeah, it's probably
he can just keep doing whatever he wants, and he's probably fine. There's probably not an indicator.
You don't need like a bigger security detail to change your patterns of behavior or anything.
Yeah,
no, keep your routine as is. Updated.
Yeah,
this is just me sort of talking to that guy, not to anyone else. It's not. I guess it's kind of silly because I don't even know why I'd need anyone else to hear this. But if you were going to do it, keep your shit on lock. Don't post the fucking threats.
Yeah, of the thing you're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, keep posting normal. That's
stupid. Just post normal. Just post alibis. Gags, bits.
I'm at the library today. All day. I'm at the library.
I'm going to the Luke Combs concert.
You know? Practice saying that.
I've got diarrhea at university.
This comes to us from WLNS in Lansing, Michigan. Study suggests friends agree on who is or isn't ready for committed relationships, MSU reports.
Yep, we are judging you.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Often
yeah, correct. I didn't know that I had that little Rolodex in my head, but yes.
Yeah, 100%.
I haven't really thought about it, but yeah.
This old thing?
We're all saying to that particular friend of ours, you know what? You're going to find the right guy. You know, he's going to show up at the right time and you're going to be ready. And then we're turning away and we're saying to our other friend, she's not ready.
She's going to blow it. She's going to blow it big time. She'll literally never be ready.
Yeah.
You're ready.
With about 500 therapy sessions, she'll be ready.
Just go out there and give it your all. It won't work. It's
ladies,
not going to work.
Girls never say this stuff to each other.
Yep.
We're always like, yes, dump him. He's a piece
You're
of shit.
Perfect.
You're perfect. You don't need to change anything about yourself.
No growth or learning needed.
Just telling all of your girlfriends that they're fine, but none of the guys they're dating are ready for a committed relationship.
That's right.
Always them.
That's always.
Yeah. A study done by the Michigan State University's College of Social Science Department of Psychology shows friends significantly agree on who is ready for a committed relationship and who isn't. Researchers collected data from roughly 800 people consisting of four friends each. Each group rated themselves and their friends on commitment readiness and attachment orientations.
So we could do this with each other.
Four friends?
We're a group of four friends.
We are a group of four friends.
Three colleagues and one friend.
Yeah.
To each of us from our own perspective. But none of us pair up with each other as the other friend. That's so interesting.
That is so interesting.
It's unidirectional. Yes. I think of Theo as my friend. He thinks of Andrew as his friend. Andrew thinks of Lucy as his friend.
So
Lucy thinks
none of
me
match
as
up.
Her friend. Yeah.
No. Everyone has one big cross through one of the other three.
Yeah. And we're all compromising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Researchers say people with an insecure attachment style have elevated levels of anxiety and or avoidance. Mm-hmm. That's probably why people don't like you.
Yep.
Like why people don't stick around, because of your anxiety?
Yeah.
It really sucks.
Of your anxiety.
Really,
you should probably
brings the mood down.
Like worry about it a bit more.
Yeah.
Hey, your insecure attachment style kind of makes me want to leave.
Yeah, it's bumming me out.
Kind of makes me want to abandon you.
I have one foot out the door because of how stressed you are about me leaving.
Your insecure
it's
attachment
not something
style,
you've
really
experienced previously.
I just want to go out and get a pack of smokes. So I'll be right back.
Quote, friendships affect so many parts of our life. Not just our health and happiness, but also our romantic prospects. Mm.
Sometimes friends do become lovers.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's called love ladder friends theory. To lovers. Look it up.
That's one of my tags.
It's like rags to riches.
Are your tags when you're in book talk?
Friends to lovers.
Yeah.
Sometimes enemies to lovers. There's something very sexy about that.
Sometimes like vampires to lovers.
Yes. Right? Werewolves to lovers.
Yeah. Yep. Fairy kings, whatever else they got going on there.
Man, women are fucked up,
women
hey?
Women are and fucking disgusting, man.
In fairness, the men that are into that shit fucked up too.
Mm. Yeah.
All of them. What's going on? We can't keep asking this question, but what's wrong with regular
what's
pornography?
What's going on? What's wrong with just some pornography?
Well,
just
pornography's kind of messed up now too. So,
yeah. I mean,
I guess everything's going on and none of it's good.
Yeah, true. Well,
I mean, Clive Barker was talking about fucking like turds on the floor or whatever for 20 years ago. I don't think it's a new thing. You ever read a Clive Barker novel? He's nasty.
No. What? No, Clive Barker's nasty?
Clive Barker
probably
gross.
Seems genteel.
What
now.
The fuck? Is there sex in his books?
Yeah, and it sucks.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey, Clive Barker. Yeah, I call him Pinhead. Does that piss you off, Clive Barker? I'm not calling him the Hell Priest, even though that sounds extremely cool.
Is that his actual name, the Hell Priest?
I think that's what Clive Barker prefers for him to be called, and the pinhead thing came from the movies, and he hates it. He doesn't like it.
That's way sexier, actually.
Yeah, but in fairness, he's got all those pins in his head, you know? Yes, although, they're more like nails or tacks than...
That's true.
You know, more like a carpet nail.
Nail head, yeah.
Yeah.
Old Nailhead's coming. Ooh.
Oh, he directed Candyman. What a wonderful film.
Oh, rest in peace, Tony Todd.
Mm. R.I.P.
Rips to one of the greats.
One of the greats.
Friends can constrain or facilitate who we date. They can also help our romantic relationships flourish or subtly and not so subtly undermine them, said William Chopic, associate professor in MSU's Department of Psychology and co-author of the study. That's true.
I love not so subtly undermining my friends' romantic relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw your partner when you left the room. She kicked the dog.
Yeah.
Like the moment that you walked out. I just saw her do that. She laughed afterwards. I don't know. Maybe that's like a cultural thing. I don't know if that's just.
I'm sure she'll tell you it never happened. She kind of seems like that kind of person.
She seems kind of duplicitous.
Seems duplicitous. I really like kind her. Of like a snake.
Like, I love hanging out with her. I love her. She's been so much fun.
Super nice.
But she does seem like kind of sinister and evil.
Mm.
But great laugh.
Yeah. That's kind of evil.
Oh, you guys are going to see Nosferatu? Even though you said last week when it was just you and me that you really didn't want to see that movie? Have fun.
Oh, it's just if it was me, I would hate it if someone was controlling my life like that. Yeah. But no, you guys seem to be having a great time.
It'd be like,
didn't use the toilet brush. Shit black too, like.
Oh, that's such a good. Every time you go over, being like, I just went to use the bathroom.
Nasty in there, super nasty.
Just left pitch, in there again.
Pitch black shit in there.
Looked up your girlfriend's stool on the stool color chart. This is a Bristol chart.
Yeah,
I had to turn up the contrast on the photo to make it look like your girlfriend's shit. It was crazy.
I'm just worried about you.
Yeah, if you want that in your life, then that's fine.
Yeah. No,
as long as you're happy.
Another double date next week. Let's do it. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
She is a sick woman.
Oh, great. Evil. Great to meet you, Jeanette. This is the girl you said shit's black?
Leaves it unflushed when there are guests over? And it's the unhealthiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
This is the no flush black shitter? Great to meet you.
And she mustn't sit straight on the toilet because it's always off to one side.
It's on the bowl. She's always hitting the bowl.
Way off center. You guys are doing that sitting deliberately, right?
I don't know where you're up to in your relationship, but is it that she's sitting weird or is it that her hole is off center?
It looks like
evil girlfriend has off center hole?
Off center hole?
Looks like she drew on the seat with a Sharpie.
But no, she's great. Let's go to the pub together. We'll have some crack.
It'll be great.
She's great.
I love her.
Enjoy that movie she said she didn't want to watch.
Yeah. If she takes the bathroom key, tip the wait staff.
You're going to want to close it down after she goes in there.
Quote, friends play a key role in forming and maintaining romantic relationships, from introductions to advice.
Don't go in there after it. Yeah.
Don't do it.
If you could get a photo or put a sample in a bag, I've got a friend at this university that's going to be really interested.
I got a friend in the lab at MSU who's going to want to see this.
He's going to want to see that.
They're going to take this to one of those conferences in Switzerland.
Vampire shit? Left slightly off-center in toilet?
Scribbling in a notebook. Vampire anus off-center? Question mark.
Evil. Evil question mark?
Great chat, though. She always gives great chat. The banter?
Oh, the banter. God. Funny. She's funny.
Yeah. I think she might kill people, though. However, there is rarely a chance to know how they perceive us. Said Haiwan Yang, doctoral candidate at MSU.
Can you imagine?
That's great. I don't want to learn how anyone perceives me at any time.
Like, the only way to learn how your friends perceive you is to, like, do a podcast with them for, like,
Yeah.
Years. Mm-hmm. Like a really long time, because eventually the jokes become very personal.
Very, very personal.
And very close to home.
Very real.
Yeah.
They're very real.
That's not even a joke anymore.
And they're often about things that you don't remember saying.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true, because you start to notice patterns in, well, your co-host starts to notice patterns in your behavior that you never would, because they've been in hundreds of hours of recorded material with you.
Yep.
You should start a podcast with your friends to find out about your true self.
Yeah, and then your fans can also send you messages perceiving you.
Oh,
they
boy.
Can pitch in critiquing your behavior.
Yeah, that's true, because we set the tone for how we talk to each other.
Yeah, and they might just follow, you know, maybe they've got some, you know, they're mirroring. Maybe they've got some mirroring behavior and they want to send in and kind of join in.
They want to chime in.
Yeah.
On the fifth mic.
Yeah.
Hey, that's right. You are an idiot. I don't know you. I hope this study offers a holistic understanding of commitment readiness from a social network perspective while emphasizing the vital role of friends in pursuing, developing, and maintaining romantic relationships.
Hmm.
I hope so too.
Oh, you sticking with it?
Oh.
Still going out with her?
Okay. Yes, huh. Okay. 4 months, huh? That's interesting.
Interesting choice.
I know that, like, we don't fund universities enough, but, you know, sometimes you just read about a study and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All right,
you could have just asked the girls.
Like, a year on that? Or
I know that, like, sometimes you'll hear conservative people making this argument as, like, you know, the basket weaving studies at universities, underwater basket weaving, whatever. And you're like, yeah, shut up, you old fuck. We're all adding to the corpus of human knowledge, which is all important. But then sometimes, you know, because, like, we're more educated and discerning. We can choose when the studies are actually stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they should also continue funding the stupid studies.
Let's they should fund
them. 100%. It's but just like, your study was that friends agree on, like, criticizing the other friend. Like, yeah,
like, they know that you're, like, rancid. Your friends know you're rancid. Yeah.
Of course your friends know you're rancid. We're in the other group chat without you in it. Mm-hmm. Like,
there are 5 group chats for every 4... member friend groups.
Yeah, every time you get a new boyfriend, it's like, oh, fucking here we go again.
Jesus.
In the other group chat.
She's going to do it again. She's going to do the exact same thing that she does every time.
Bets on how long it lasts.
And everyone else is like, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. You're too good for him.
Yes. Yeah, it was him. He was the problem. Fucking bitch. I'm so sick of it. I can't wait to see you all for trivia next week. Hey, we're probably not going to do a follow-up on that story, but we do some follow-ups on some other stories. It's time for Oh Shit, It's an Update to an Old News Story.
Oh shit, it's an update to an old news story.
This is an update on the Toyota ShareLunker program. If you guys remember that.
Who could forget?
How could I forget?
I will never
How
forget.
How could you forget the ShareLunker
program? I honestly forget so many stories that we've spoken about like immediately after we finish recording.
It's a lot of stuff, isn't
it? Like, it's just a lot of stuff. It's gone. But this one.
We'll do an episode.
Fresh.
And Ben puts it out and says, it's pod on the Discord. And like later on, people are going, wow, what a great episode. That's what they say all the time. And I'm
one
like,
person generally,
idea. No fucking idea what we were talking about.
They'll reference something. Like, what the fuck?
A day or two
about?
Ago. You know?
Sometimes people will, they like to sort of, without context, sort of chime in along with listening to it. So they're posting in the Discord and they won't give any clues as to what they're listening to. And if it's from an episode that's not the most recent one we put out, I'm like, what are you talking about? Where someone will just be like, oh, I owned a 1997 Corolla.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you mean to post this in cars?
Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, that story we spent 25 minutes on with the diarrhea.
And we love our listeners. We love our listeners.
We love it. And we love for you to join the Discord.
Yeah. More people in there will make it better for sure. Mm-hmm. So we talked about this in the bonus episode from April last year called the ShareLunker Proxy, which is about the Toyota ShareLunker program, which is, I don't fucking know. Still really how Toyota is involved in this because it seems like it's also being run by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. But I guess that's America, baby. So
not for long.
People would catch really big largemouth bass and then they would call the Sri Lanka hotline, and then like a crack team of fish biologists would rock up and collect the fish and give them like a prize and put them on the socials and stuff.
Yeah.
And say, congrats, you've got a Sri Lanka.
None of it. It all feels like Animal Crossing logic.
Yeah.
But like, you pull a fish out and then
you call
a fucking
the fish guy.
And then like a dog wearing overalls turns up. It's like,
he measures the
would
fish.
You like to put this in the museum?
So they use the fish to breed the fish because they want.
Oh, that's
they
right.
Want
the
bigger
missing
fish.
They want
right?
bigger yeah. fish.
They're just breeding big dogs.
They're playing they're, God.
Yes.
Other big dogs. They're yeah. playing God.
So they're
a
taking
bit.
Them away yeah. and they're milking. They're milking the little.
Yeah, they're milking the.
They're milking
fish
the fish's little pud.
Yeah. Yeah, one thumb up.
The detail that stuck in my mind about this story Christ. Was that the Sri Lanka hotline, where you could call to report your catch of a big fish, opened 24/7.
24/7. More than my bank.
And like Texas wide, I think.
Yep.
Like, that there's just somehow rapid response Sri Lanka teams. It's
like,
fucking
like
crazy.
Like slamming the phone down and running up to the helipad on the roof, you know?
Right? Well, because how else do they
have
regional offices?
Do they have one in every town?
Because Texas is big. Big place, I understand.
It's huge.
And
it's almost a third the size
Texas.
Of Queensland.
Me
Americans
now.
Are talking about how big their states are. You don't fucking know shit.
Yeah.
Tiny little states in your country that's bigger than ours, but your states are smaller.
It's like a state little for a
states.
Baby.
Yeah. Nice entry-level big state. This comes to us from the Houston Chronicle. A Texas man catches same gigantic bass he caught 2 years ago.
It's okay, no America. The big states scare me.
I think big Texas is a hurt. Really good size.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's perfect like that. I actually like states
I think
that
it's
size.
Perfect. I prefer them that size.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it's fun to be a little scared.
I think being intimidated by those big states.
A Texas fisherman recently reunited with the same trophy largemouth bass he caught 2 years ago.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
He's going to fuck think that fish.
What do you mean by
what
that?
What is he doing with that fish?
How's that relevant?
Yeah, he's going to.
Beautiful,
he's gonna
submissive,
fish.
And breedable Sri Lanka.
No.
He's submissive because he's a fish, and he's breedable because they literally bred him.
Yeah.
2 years
well,
ago.
Everyone's breedable the then. When
I know
you put
I
it
am.
That way.
This week, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, TPWD, announced angler Ross Gomez submitted Legacy Class Sri Lanka 674 from Lake Allen Henry near Lubbock, Texas on Wednesday.
It rocks that they've got like elite dangerous spacecraft names for
100%.
Yeah, you could like give them like just names.
Yeah.
Legacy Class Sri Lanka 674.
Yeah, how many hard points does that bad boy have?
You can't actually purchase them until you're level 20. The big bass weighed a whopping 14.78 pounds, making it one of the heaviest catches of TPWD's 2025 Toyota Sri Lanka collection season.
Yeah. That's 7 kilos, I mean.
That's a big fish.
Yeah, it's a big fish,
is
I guess.
Is it? I guess I don't really know what a fish weighs.
It's the second time the bass has been caught by Gomez at the reservoir. On Feb 10th, 2023, notably around the same date.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it would be, because the Sri Lanka collection season is only 3 months long.
Right.
So it kind of puts it.
So it has to be around the same date.
Around
narrows
the same
it down
date.
A bit.
Going to be relatively close.
Gomez submitted the fish as Legacy Class Sri Lanka 641. At the time, the bass weighed 13.22 pounds.
Oh, so he's thriving.
He's thriving.
He is. He's put on 1.5 pounds. It's good on him. It's
he's had
so
a good
weird
time.
To like be able to score points off the same fish.
Yeah.
Like double
that
dipping
seems
on
like
a fish.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't think you should double dip on the submissive and breedable fish.
No. One and out. The fish was transported to the Texas Freshwater Fishery Center, where a DNA sample was taken for genetic analysis, and it was tagged and spawned, TPWD said.
Yeah.
It produced
we know what that means.
22,649 fingerlings that were stocked into Texas lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so many fingerlings.
This thing's breedable as fuck.
That thing's so breedable.
That's the most breedable fish I've ever heard of.
It's a fecund fish.
Don't I hate that word. It's not a good word. On April 27th, 2023, it was released back into Lake Allen Henry. TPWD called its reunion with Gomez a, quote, bigger, better bass bromance.
Didn't have to.
Yeah, I think...
Because he fucked it? Because he kissed it on the hole?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, twice kissed on the hole.
I know they're going for the alliteration, but bromance is just so funny.
You just, I think it's such a 2010 word, don't we?
Yeah.
We still throwing that around.
Metrosexual fish. Yeah. Like, if you're trying to tie it into the Valentine's Day thing, just call it a romance. Why are we doing this?
Yeah. Is the fish genderless?
Yeah.
Like, is it a woman fish? I don't know about I'm not sure. It had fingerlings.
Uh-oh.
I don't think you can call that a bromance. Are fish asexual?
Well, but
no,
it spawned the
like pretty definitively in this case.
Just googling fish gender. Hold on.
I mean, fish have gender.
Do they have gender?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I thought fish had like both genders.
I think some fish can change their sex based on the number of.
Someone's getting so angry.
I think primarily it all works so like bad. You expect, though.
I'm glad we got divorced. Fuck y'all. Listen to anything.
Their gender can be influenced by variables of chemistry and temperature. There's a website here that says a guide to sexing fish. I don't know if you should have called it that.
Yeah.
Thanks, well, Tropical Fish Hobbyist Magazine.
Did maybe the fish spawned the fingerlings from impregnating other fish with its...
Yeah, that's right. It takes two to tango.
Yes, correct.
Right, they can switch around. Anyway, you can't be calling it a bromance.
Yeah.
Just call it a romance. Just don't be scared of... what that means for you.
It's not fucking How I Met Your Mother. We don't doing shit like that anymore. Oh, it's a legendary bromance. Shut the fuck up, TPWD.
Mm.
It seems like we're probably the only podcast talking about the Toyota Share Locker program. We talk a lot about stuff that needs to be talked about, especially in the segment Stuff We Should Chat About. It's time for Stuff We Should Chat About.
Here comes some stuff we should chat about. Stuff we should chat about. Bunch of list of stuff to chat about. Stuff we should chat about. Here comes some more stuff to chat about. We're chatting about stuff. Yeah, baby.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Thinking about that for weeks.
Just what I imagined.
All I've been singing in the shower.
You got a really beautiful
voice.
That's funny. So good. Like, it's funny, but it's also like genuinely good.
Shout out to Bonnie Raitt. Come on now. Yes. Absolute queen.
This is, of course, the segment where we talk about stuff that's sort of been on our mind lately. We feel like there's not getting enough of a sort of, there's not being talked about enough.
We're shining a light. Important.
Yes. Yeah. On important stuff.
We report. You decide.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys noticed that, like nowadays, there's just like shit everywhere.
Like what kind of shit are we talking
like
about?
Like just stuff?
Like there's just fucking stuff everywhere. Like if you ever, like you look at a photo of like, it'll be a shop front from like the 70s or something, and they'll have a hand painted sign says like Clegg's Supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just the entrance to the building and that's it. It's just clean and simple. And now every time you look anywhere, there's just fucking shit everywhere.
The shit everywhere. There's in the Woolworths, in the Coles, in the Chemist Warehouse.
Yeah. There's signs fucking everywhere. There's little stickers on everything. Everything's got numbers and shit on it. There are logos, or there's like a sign somewhere, or there's
apps.
A little gadget
just
on
apps.
The wall. There's
I'm
so screens.
So sick of apps.
So sick of.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. There's new things all the time.
There's just, you look like if you're ever in a space and you look around, you're like, oh, fucking look at this shit. And there's just stuff there.
And they're never finished either. It's always like that thing is like in the fucking, in a state of disrepair because they're on to the next thing.
And it doesn't work properly, but they put it there anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, you go on your phone, there's all stuff there as well.
There's
and like
shit everywhere there. On your phone. There's ads.
It's fucking just
there's
everywhere.
The cookies, the apps.
You're trying to scroll through the wiki page for a Dark Souls 2 boss.
Yeah.
And shit's just popping up everywhere.
There's stuff everywhere. Jimmy
there's
Wells.
Stuff, there's too much shit.
I'm asking you for shit. Fuck off.
I'm so tired of it.
like a what? You, like a nice clean, yeah. You know, when the stuff without all the shit on it that you can just be like, well, there's that thing, the thing that I wanted to look at instead of all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you guys feel the same way about the thing that I'm talking
absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Except for insects, we've got rid of a lot of them.
We did get rid
There's fewer
that's
of those.
One thing we
fewer
have
animals.
I think
fewer
that's
bees.
A positive.
Yeah. 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 You know, like you watch like a documentary or something, and it'll be like, it'll show you a national park in the 60s. And there's like, this is probably for the worst, maybe, but there's like, there's no signs, there's no real like fences or anything anywhere. There's no poles with stuff on them. There's no wires. There's no gizmos and gadgets. It's just nice and clean and simple.
Yeah.
Mm. Beautiful.
Smells much stuff.
You know, there's always, you're sitting in a place, there's all this carry on, there's stuff with shit plugged into it, something
Let's
beeping, there's like
simple.
A flashing light.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I didn't have any kids at all. Now I've got two.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
That's when did it all get so complicated?
Fucked up, man.
Everything's gone south.
When you bought a car in 1945, it had one dial.
Yeah.
And it said that you were going somewhere between 0 and 18 miles an hour. Nowadays, there's all sorts of flashing lights and different signs and
that's
buttons.
So fucked up. I went in a Tesla recently. My friend was borrowing their friend's car when they were visiting Tasmania, and it was a Tesla, and it was fucked up in there. It had like
an
iPad.
It's got like fart mode.
It's just
and
like
shit.
An iPad in there.
Yeah.
Like and the whole screen, and it's got like computer versions of the cars that are around you. It made me sick to my fucking stomach.
Yes. You shouldn't have a like a home screen. Your car
you shouldn't
have a fucking home screen.
In
yes.
your car.
Yeah.
Now you got to sit down, you got to blow in the breathalyzer before you're allowed to start the car.
More stuff.
Yes. More stuff.
Just more
that,
stuff.
That
another
might just
thing.
Be you, but you've got to check in with your probation officer.
I didn't used to have to check in with my probation officer.
Dr. Manhattan was kind of onto some stuff.
Yeah. I think he was.
Yeah, he was annoying as fuck. He was hanging dong. Yeah.
Big old blue hog.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Oh, actually, can I put in a supplementary. Stuff we should chat about. I had to come up with both of these today because we were debuting the theme. I don't know if you could tell that this is something I've been thinking about for a really long time. Someone's been driving me, sorry, you'll see how I got to this from Blue Dong. Something's been really making me crazy lately is there's been this sort of cultural phenomenon of people talking about stuff that was really popular when it came out and now saying like, you ever noticed that like that was huge and now no one talks about it?
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah.
The big examples, I think, are Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And Avatar. Everyone always says that about Avatar, where they're
that
like, it was fucking huge. No one
that
can
they've
remember.
They've had, like, no longer lasting cultural impact.
Right. Except I think Avatar comes up, at least in my life,
it's
relatively
got a,
often.
It's got a Fortnite skin.
Yeah.
So
see? With something with no
going.
Legacy have a Fortnite skin?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's sort of like one of the best-selling movies of all time, and we continually refer
to the blue guys from
like,
that planet.
Haven't seen it.
And like, plus the runaway success of Avatar 2, The Way of Water. Yeah. Anyway, that pisses me off. It's really stupid. That's just kind of how time works, is that when something has just come out or is still on TV,
everybody
talk
kind
about
of talks
it
about it.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes away, especially
like,
now. Things are
like
9/11. Ephemeral. Yes.
Yeah.
You'd see on TV all the time.
For one day, you'd see it on TV all the time.
They almost never play that on TV anymore.
I don't even know if it got syndicated.
You ever notice that they don't do 24 hours of rolling coverage of 9/11 anymore?
I guess it's just not in the zeitgeist.
We used to watch Cheese TV and rolling coverage of 9/11.
We used to watch the same 3 minutes of footage being replayed over and over and over again one Thursday morning before school.
Mm. You remember when Cheese TV would transition into the Challenger disaster?
It's weird they don't do that anymore.
Don't do it anymore.
I know what you're talking about,
Cheese
Ben. I just
TV,
saw.
Sorry.
Saw one of these things. I'm trying to remember what the TV show was, but no, it was fucking Boardwalk Empire, and somebody saying. Oh, yeah. How come this show doesn't have a fandom? There's no GIFs. There's no this. There's no that.
I don't know. What's the point?
Yeah. What's the point of any of this fucking
what's
shit?
What's the fucking point?
What's the
like, what's
the point,
point
of this podcast?
Yeah. Everything's like, the shit. Everything's fucking out. Sucks.
Yeah. Hey, 9/11's not really in the news anymore, but you know what is? Eggs. It's time for Big Egg.
What's big and small at the same time? Big egg, 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 big egg.
Oh, big! I want a big egg for breakfast, eat something the size of my head. Hop out of bed, toast up a whole loaf of bread. Won't eat for a week cause I'm gonna stay fed. Big egg this morning, frying it up while I'm yawning. Realization is dawning, egg is too big. Don't own a pot, it will fit. Egg white all over my shit. Crack in a pan that blots out the whole sun. Cook up an omelette that must weigh a ton. Flip it and serve it and eat, I deserve it. Big egg means my day has begun.
When are we ever going to use that theme, my ass?
I look for them for you.
I know, it's very special to me.
And for me, because I love that theme. This is from the Associated Press. Can suspending a cage-free egg law solve the soaring price problem? Nevada takes a crack at it. I don't know if you guys have seen this or heard about this.
I'm too busy eating eggs at home.
Is this about making eggs crueler?
Yes. Yeah. That's the only thing that's going to fix America is crueler eggs.
The chickens have had it too good for too long.
They've got big problems with bird flu and massive problems with meeting egg demand. So egg prices are going up. That's where we're at. I think Australia is also having some problems with egg supply. There hasn't been many eggs. Anecdotal, but like the Coles near my place has literally halved the size of their display for eggs. Even though it's like a dedicated fridge space just for the eggs.
Yeah.
There's too many eggs there. People go egg crazy.
No, it's because they couldn't fill it out. So it looked depressing. So now they've put a weird mishmash of like impulse buy stuff in there that doesn't really make sense, which is strange. But yeah, so eggs, the world's not doing well with eggs.
Yeah, we might have some sort of children of hen thing going on.
Oh,
yes, children of
you.
Hen.
Wow.
Oh, God, Mr. No. Comedian of the Week.
Jesus. You look very pleased with yourself. I've been kind of picturing if the, you know how the start of Fury Road, and I think at the start of some of the other Mad Max movies, they contextualize it with all of the little audio clips of people saying that they're running out of gasoline.
Oh, I'm running out of gasoline.
Yeah, but imagine
if it was gasoline.
Eggs.
Eggs, yeah.
The world's running out of eggs.
There's not a lot of eggs.
There's no fucking eggs. We have become Half-Life.
Become an eggless society.
You let us die.
I had to buy cage eggs. Felt very bad about it.
Oh, Lucy, how desperately did you need eggs?
I didn't want them. It's not for me. It wasn't for me.
We got rescue hens quite a while ago, and they just sort of like, they got all fucked up legs and stuff, and they can't walk straight because they've kind of been in a cube or whatever their whole life. But it's fine. It's fine. You want to do that? Right.
Don't worry. Their free range eggs are not much less cruel.
I mean, that shit's still pretty bad.
They've got room to peck and roam.
Yeah.
I think it's like a square meter or something.
If they go on, you can have up to 10,000 hens per hectare, which I think is really cramming them in.
Yeah. I mean, the alternative is they're putting them in cages that are like exactly the size of their body mass. Like they have to reshape their body to fill the space.
Yeah.
That's a cube-shaped hen.
Are we making it worse?
It's like a...
Yeah.
Like one of those like square watermelons.
Yes. Exactly what I was picturing. Back when egg prices remained securely under $2 a dozen in 2021, no, eggs shouldn't be probably that cheap.
This is the problem every time you hear... Every time you hear Americans complaining about the prices of anything, then you hear what they think is normal to pay for it.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, no wonder your society is collapsing.
Yeah. It turns out they've been paying like $60 Australian for a video game or something. And they're like, this is so fucked.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's hard to calibrate because they get paid less and all that shit. But they'll be like, oh my God, gas prices are up to $5 a gallon, and you're like, what's that, $1.25 a litre? Oh, my God. Yeah, I dream of $1.25 a litre.
I bought Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 today.
Uh-huh.
And I traded in some games, but if I didn't, it costs $110.
Yeah.
That's what a game costs here.
Now, you in America, you might be confused and thinking, oh, that's a fucking lot, but different dollars are worth different amounts as well. That's something you might not be aware of.
Yeah, just Google it.
You've got to kind of do a little conversion. We do this sort of natively.
We're doing this because we're sort of aware that the rest of the world has different stuff to us, so we're quite used to doing it. Whereas
you're already typing into the Patreon comments, Yeah. Games don't cost $110.
Yes.
Well, there's two things you need to consider. One, we're not talking about the same dollar.
Yes.
Two, we live geographically in a location that does not fall within the boundaries of the United States of America. Two little elements to this that you may not be aware of.
Yeah. Like we have US Army bases here, but we're not part of the United States of America.
Yeah.
We do whatever America says.
My grandma would tell me about how they used to go like wandering past the US Army bases and like they'd get like catcalled by the army and stuff. And, you know, maybe they take a boy home, they kiss him, do it, they go to the dance.
I recently played and
you know what
finished
leads to
going to dance. I played and finished GTA 5 recently. I'd never finished it before, right? So and was having a playthrough of that because there keeps being GTA 6 stuff in the news. And one of the articles that I saw about GTA 6 was saying that because it's such a hotly anticipated title, only 75 years in development, that that like big game producing companies and console companies and all that sort of stuff are expressing the hope that Rockstar will charge $100 for the game, $100 US for the game.
All right.
And so they're basically expressing this hope that GTA 6 ushers in the new paradigm of games being allowed to cost $100 US.
My very nuanced opinion on this is that products should cost an amount that will make it so that everyone gets reasonably paid for the amount of work that went into it,
but
you should put less work into it. Like, if the graphics look like Morrowind, but
do
the gameplay
really
is dope.
Do we really need games to look like fancy?
We
I don't
can't
care.
Keep doing this, right?
Video games are an abstraction. They don't have to mirror real life. I'll get immersed in something that looks like absolute
stupid
dog shit.
Make the
I'm
titties
simple.
Triangles again.
Well, big fucking triangles.
I think the most important distinction to make about graphic fidelity in video games is that it was at a point some time ago where anything better than what it already was, I can't see.
Man.
I can't see it.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it on a 4K TV. If you show me like a zoomed in, you know, really detailed picture of like the model of the lead character from Horizon Zero Dawn, and you can see all her pores and her individual eyelashes and all that shit, and then you play the game, and as soon as anything starts moving, and to be clear, everything in the frame is moving at all times. I can't see any of that.
I just don't care.
There's
stop
like
putting
post-processing
actors
going. There's like
got to make the ledges
blur
yellow because everything looks so fucking confusing.
Everything. There's shit everywhere.
There's fucking shit
there's
everywhere.
There's
shit everywhere.
Shit
on
shit
video
everywhere.
Game. There's too, I don't need to see the blades of grass moving. I don't need an actor. You don't need to put a real life actor in the
don't
video game.
Don't put Willem Dafoe
I'm
in
so
your video game.
I'm so sick of this shit.
Don't do a scan of someone's face. Make them a night elf.
Let Norman Reedus be on movies.
Yep.
Yes.
He doesn't need to be in your video game.
Kojima-san,
for fuck's sake,
just tell them you want to fuck them.
Just hang out with them. You don't need to full
hang
body scan them. Leave Guillermo del Toro alone unless you want to have a movie date with him.
Hey, Lea Seydoux, I just need you to take off all your clothes and step into this scanner real quick.
Yeah. It's for narrative reasons.
Yeah.
At least when Wes Anderson demands that Lea Seydoux be naked, it's for art. And video games aren't art.
No,
they're
not. We worked that out.
They're barely fun. They're barely fun.
Most of the time, they're a huge hassle to play.
This is going to make me sound so fucking old, but I remember the first video game I played and thinking that the graphics were too realistic that I couldn't tell what was happening was Halo 3.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I don't need to be able to see every leaf. I can't see the grunts for the leafs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
can't
too busy.
Can't see the grunts for
can't
the leafs.
The
there was too much going on. I kept getting killed. It was horrible. What were we talking about?
Eggs?
Eggs.
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 We're definitely not going to get through this whole article because it's quite long and Lucy's got to go in a second. But
I'll just disappear. I'll just ghost.
We'll say goodbye now.
I'll just ghost.
Now, 4 years later, a dozen eggs cost an average of nearly $5 in the US. Wow, $5 for 12 eggs.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, look, I don't want to. There's a cost of living crisis. Okay.
There is. There That's is. Very true. Yeah. This is because of the lingering bird flu. Man, lingering makes it sound like we're on the tail end. Mm. I don't think we're... I think this is just starting.
Yeah. We're firmly in bird flu.
Yeah, this is sort of the bird flu era.
And they're kind of not doing any of the things that you'd want for them to make it go away.
Well, they're sacking all the guys.
Either.
They kind of
fired they're sacking all the guys that say that there's bird flu.
Yeah.
So.
They're sort of going around with a clipboard and being like, is there bird flu? And you go, yeah. All right. Get out of here. Put all your shit in a cardboard box. Security's going to walk you out.
Yep.
Nevada passed a law the governor signed Thursday that will allow the state to suspend the law temporarily in hopes of getting residents some relief at the checkout counters. This is, of course, the law banning the sale of caged eggs. By relaxing the rule, Nevada might get access to additional eggs, but the supply of all eggs remains tight because nearly 159 million birds have been slaughtered since the bird flu outbreak began in 2022 to help limit virus spread.
Hmm. Okay.
If you like,
but we can squeeze a few more eggs out, though.
Yeah, by introducing cruelty back into the egg cycle.
Yeah, by putting the hens in a hen cube.
Yeah. 159 million birds. Like, if you were even, like, a vaguely spiritual person with a concept of the soul, you know, an eternal soul and all living creatures, 159 million deaths is just a crazy fucking number of deaths.
Yeah.
To be killed, like actively killed. Not like they died, they were killed.
And not for anything, not for like the grand cycle of life.
No, they were removed from the cycle of life.
It's not to be consumed by another body to like take their flesh and use it to nourish them. It's because we fucked up. We made a whole bunch of birds and we put them all close together.
Yeah.
And so they're just like sneezing in each other's beaks.
Yes. We gave them miserable lives so we could get $2 a dozen eggs and then we killed them all. But there was no transfer of energy from them into anything else. The transfer was from miserable life into landfill.
And now those souls are back into nematodes, the great spiritual buffer of the universe.
That's right. They're starting again.
They're back to nematode, the bottom rung.
Square one. That's University of Arkansas agricultural economist Jada Thompson said opening up Nevada to all kinds of eggs, quote, could ease egg prices in Nevada very slightly, but it might make prices worse elsewhere because supplies are so tight. So you're opening up the pool of eggs in Nevada, but drawing from a finite pool of eggs in America. So you've got sort of like a conservation of eggs problem there. Like they got to come from somewhere. It's a closed system of eggs, so it's still going to eat into demand.
I would also suggest that perhaps the price is not the largest issue you got going on with the egg supply right now.
Yeah,
I think it's probably more to do with the 159
million. Yeah,
all the dead chickens.
It's no good. Brad Birdsall, owner and chief eggineer at Eggworks.
Not a real guy.
It's not. He's got birds in his name as well, so it's no good.
Yeah, birds all.
He said he is paying more than twice as much for a case of eggs than he was 2 years ago. $129 for 15 dozen cases of eggs. The restaurant implemented a 50-cent surcharge per shelled egg until prices come down.
And that's going to hit consumers in the back pocket, I understand.
Yeah. Why per shelled egg? Why not just per egg? That seems like an odd distinction.
Per shelled egg.
The Nevada bill signed Thursday will give the restaurant access to more sources of eggs, and Birdsall says he's hopeful he can drop that surcharge soon. It would suck to have like a seemingly egg-themed restaurant and then have an egg surcharge.
Mm.
That's what the price of the meal is. That's the surcharge for eating eggs, is paying for the eggs.
Yeah, sort of that just goes on the bill of materials.
That's the cost of doing business. That's the cost of selling eggs, is the price of the egg.
I'd hate to be one of the people who owns the restaurant chain Egg Slut right now.
Yeah, oh, man. For a few reasons.
Yeah.
Stupid name. First of all, let's get that out there. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Correct. Quote, I'm really hoping that the governor takes a good, hard look at this cage-free thing and decides to keep this a permanent thing, he said. So this fucking guy with his egg restaurant is like, I wish the chicken was more miserable before it laid the eggs we sell.
You have to start from the position that every restaurateur is the worst cunt you've ever known in your entire life.
Correct.
Who would kill his grandmother for a dollar less per meal price.
Happily.
Happily. And serve her up. He'd serve me more up.
This month's jump in egg prices was the biggest since the nation's last bird flu outbreak in 2015. The previous high was set 2 years ago when eggs were selling for $4.82 per dozen on average. The average prices mask just how bad it is in some places. Some Californians these days are shelling out $12.99 for a dozen, or more than a buck an egg.
Yeah.
Thank you, Associated Press, right, for that clarification on the numbers. Some New York shops even started selling bundles of three eggs to help people who can't afford a full dozen.
That's just sad.
It's sad, but does kind of make sense a little bit to me. Like three eggs? I would divvy them up into fours. Personally, I think four eggs is a great purchase amount for the bachelor.
I feel like four has a better egg feel.
Yeah, three just feels odd. But I guess they're just taking a bread knife and cutting the cardboard egg thing into six? No. I know. How the fuck are you doing
that? They're going to be doing corners.
Unless you get one of those, the weird 18 cartons.
Oh, with the offset egg placement?
Yeah, but what are you doing? Slicing that into long threes? They'll be falling apart. There'll be no structural integrity. I think they're taking three eggs and wrapping some tape around the outside of the three of them together.
I think there's more to this story.
Or they're getting a carton of a half dozen and just cutting it down lengthways, which doesn't seem structurally good. The concern with the cage-free requirements is that only about 121 million of the 304 million chickens laying eggs nationwide are raised on cage-free farms, so the supply is limited.
Oh no, there's a limited number of chickens we can put into hyper-chicken slavery.
Yeah. Yes.
The number of cage-free chickens has steadily increased in recent years because of the laws and the pressure from the companies buying eggs, increasing exponentially from just 38 million at the start of 2017. But so that worked? So the laws really fucking worked? And now you're just rolling them back?
Well, because we want eggs now.
Eggs.
Eggs, please.
But the United Egg Producers Trade Group has estimated that it would take at least 226 million cage-free hens to meet all the demand for those eggs, and more customers are clamoring for them, so the supply is tight. The total flock of chickens nationwide used to number above 330 million before the bird flu outbreak began. You're telling me there was one chicken for every person in the United States?
Sort of a one in, one out kind of deal.
About a one per? Do you reckon every American had like a twin soul with one of those chickens? There has to be a reason that those numbers match up so well. And somewhere out there is a chicken that like you have a bond with, that if you ever met, if you ever crossed paths with, you'd lock eyes.
Yeah. And one day everything goes wrong for you. You lose your job. Your wife just leaves you for a real estate agent. It's because your link got severed, your soul link.
Yeah, because a million chickens got torched with a flamethrower because there was a bird flu outbreak, and your soul chicken got torched.
You're gone. Now you're soul linked with a nematode.
Yeah. I think it's for everyone's benefit, the better the conditions that the chickens are in, because the better your soul link chicken
is doing,
link. The better you'll be doing. If you feel like a weird sort of malaise, like a kind of a fog of anxiety and depression sort of like when you wake up every day, that you sort of feel that like society is sick and you're not really able to do anything about it and things are only getting worse and the future is uncertain, that's probably not because of like current events. It's probably because like your soul chicken is in a cage.
Yeah, if it's even alive still.
Yeah, fuck, man. Like if you're doing really bad, your soul chicken is probably dead.
Yeah. But at the very best, you're soul linked to a chicken that's been stuffed into a bottle, ship in a bottle style. And you go, how'd it get in there? How'd the chicken get in there?
How'd they put the chicken in there?
How'd they get the chicken in there?
Yeah.
Well, that's the fun of it, isn't it?
Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast. Bunta Vista, thank you so much for joining us. You got this bonus episode for free because it's freemium free brewery. Well, you might have got it because you pay for it. But if you are getting it for free and you're enjoying it, maybe consider signing up for the Patreon because you will get two episodes every week. You'll learn so much about the world, so much about yourself. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll think. It's all there. Yeah. In the podcast, Bunta Vista, we will see you on the free episode. But until then, please stay safe. And I urge you, advocate for the chicken. Because you never know whose soul chicken the caged chicken is. You know? Could be yours.
You might be mistreating a chicken to find out that's your soul chicken.
Oh God, wouldn't that be a really like poetic karmic punishment? Is that the chicken you were mistreating was your own soul chicken. We're all each other's soul chicken in a way.
Not me either.
Except for Andrew. Bye.
Bye.